always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I mean, the Randall contract, I think, became a negative value.
Sure, but that's still kind of...
But could this be their setting? This was the price to set up their books for some kind of Giannis deal. Like, we know that they've been trying to tangentially get into that.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to cost either Randall or Gobert. So
yeah.
I guess now is the time that we start paying attention to Minnesota. And look, maybe imagine the entire segment that we just recorded about Jaden McDaniels, you know, not being available.
Shakes loose. No, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just think that, like, if I were Luka and my first impressions of being a Laker so far, I think he legitimately and sincerely loves the Lakers, like, fan base. And I think he really enjoyed this last season playing for the Lakers. I just cannot fathom that he is particularly impressed by Rob Pelinka and that entire front office.
Well, okay, but I think it's important to make the point here. You know, you're going, as you usually do, like Chicken Little, and you're just like, Giannis isn't a Laker yet. The plan has failed. Nothing good is going to happen to the Lakers ever again until Rob Pelinka is fired. And then,
it's not Giannis is not a Laker yet. It's that Giannis is not going to be a Laker flat out.
Yeah.
Like that dream is dead.
I mean, that seems unlikely, but my point is that, you know, the cap space plan as you know, actually I really became fond of
iteration of this plan here though.
Trill Bro Dude on Uniball, when the Sixers, they were saving up cap space. He kept calling it the cope space plan. And it was just like a way to cope with, they were wasting a year. And then it ended up, like, quote unquote, working. And they signed Paul George to, like, one of the worst contracts in the NBA. So, you know, even when this stuff works, you don't really know if it worked until down the line. But the reason I say all this is to say that, like, we haven't seen what they're going to do with their flexibility yet. Just because they have not made a move yet, it's still, like, there's still time for the draft.
Oh,
there's still time before free agency. You know, like, they could, just because they haven't been linked to anything yet, does not mean that the plan has failed. Now, that said, what I don't want to hear coming out of this, like, you have to do something. And you have to make the team meaningfully better. And all the things that you said about how do you improve a 53-win team while possibly losing LeBron or other key pieces and things like that, like, those are all real concerns. And I think that they deserve a chance to attempt to do that, actually, and, like, take this offseason and attempt to address those concerns. And, you know, if they have a really good offseason, then obviously you and I are both going to be really happy. But the thing that I don't want to hear after the offseason, if they do nothing or if they do very little, is if they don't set out their goal, which is to, like, build a championship contender or at least get within a stone's throw of that, you know, then I don't want to hear about a house not being for sale. You can't, not being able to buy a house that's not for sale. Because if you were a realtor and you told people, hey, you know, unload all the money from the stock market, you know, get yourself as liquid as possible, like, we're going to make some bids on houses and we're going to get a house for you. And then you kept coming back to them and being the realtor kept coming back to you and was like, hey, you know, just haven't been able to get a house. I keep putting in bids, but, like, these people, they don't want to sell their houses. And it's like, well, have you tried buying a house that's for sale, you know, and planning for that?
Or,
and that's your job, is to plan for the market and find, you know, an attractive, like, and deliver on this promise that you are making. And, you know, it's very much TBD. This is not me, like, caping for Rob Pelinka and being like, just hashtag trust Rob or whatever. You know, it's just that we still need to see when and if this Giannis deal happens, which seems like it's going to happen in the next, you know, day or so. Can the Lakers get in on the aftermath of that to get a meaningful player? You know, we were talking about early, we started off the show talking about the Jaylen Brown, Austin Reaves sign and trade. You know, I'm not saying a Jaylen Brown, Austin Reaves sign and trade, but, you know, if Jaylen Brown is a guy that shakes loose in that, is that a guy that you can use your cap space to go get and, you know, pair alongside Luka. You know, it, again, whatever sort of wherever these dominoes fall and wherever these musical chairs go, it's going to be similar to the last couple big superstar transactions where somebody really good becomes available because they were sort of seen as like a way to get extra assets for the team trading the star, sort of like Drew Holiday. I always think about Drew Holiday in Portland after the Dame trade and the Celtics were able to go in there and get him. And I think that's the sort of move that you have to be targeting here. And TBD, if, you know, any players that I or the Lakers actually want shake loose in this Giannis transaction. But there's going to be stuff like that. There's going to be teams that are missing out on Giannis that then have to pivot. And there's still a lot of offseason left, you know, or at least, you know, there's like a week or two
all of the off-season
left.
Yeah.
Well, there's a week or two of probably like meaningful offseason where deck chairs are actually going to move left. And then after that, you know, things will most likely get quieter. Maybe there'll be some stuff in August when like teams who missed out on all their plan A, B, and C are sort of making guys available that weren't before. But that's like one transaction a year. That's not that many. And so I don't necessarily want to bank on that. But the Lakers, they have to do something here, but they still have time to do something.
Yeah, they have all day tomorrow, the rest of tonight, right? Like, as much as this might be a Giannis, you know, something that would precludes Giannis to Minnesota for whatever reason, even though that hasn't been on the radar basically at all over the last day or so, according to kind of the national newsbreaker types. Like this also could just be Minnesota freeing up money to be able to retain Ayo Dosunmu as that roster continues to get more and more expensive just organically. That is somebody who they gave up real capital to acquire and then really liked him when they got there. So this might just be, you know, something that they're doing to be able to pay him. Also, as some people in the chat have noted, this takes up a significant chunk of Brooklyn's cap space, cap space that would otherwise, at least as a threat, could have gone to Austin Reeves, which, you know, and then also, but for that matter, the Chicago Bulls just took Nick Claxton into their cap space as well. And the Bulls are one of the other, you know, one of the three teams that actually have meaningful cap space this year, the other one being the Lakers. So, you know, even while Trae Young got such a payday that I'm sure, you know, Austin's camp was like, well, are we at least as good as that guy? Like, can we get that kind of a payday? The market is just as it tends to happen.
And that's what Austin's camp should do. But I also, I will say the same thing that I said, you know, in the aftermath of the Bradley Beal deal, like again, like directly in the aftermath, when it was clear that was a horrible contract from the moment it was signed. It's just like, you know, them being stupid doesn't mean we have to be stupid.
Right. Yeah. It's super duper telling that over the course of the day, the best defense that the Wizards or Wizards fans had for the Trae Young contract is, well, where else are we going to spend the money? And look, as somebody who's
like when you buy a country
once
club
upon a time,
signed, you know, you're like, well, Jen, what else would we even spend the money? What else would we even spend the money on?
Yeah, it's like if I go to the grocery store and come back with nothing but wine, and Jen goes, "What? Why?" Like, babe, what else are we going to spend the money on?
Not even wine. Food. Paid like it was like $400 a bottle of wine. You know, you were just I had all this money in my savings account. What was I going to do? Keep it in there? Use it for something else. Come on, there's nothing else good I could have spent it on. I gotta give me more Trae Young.
Yeah. But yeah, just to kind of like, you know, put a bow on this, at least before we fully move on. To me, the lesson to take from this, beyond the you know, the infected scab analogy that I used a second ago, but to me,
I believe the clutch points graphic from the show was going to be pool scum and then it was just going to be a picture of Rob Pelinka.
Yeah. But like, to me, I would hope whether it's Rob Pelinka or whoever one day mercifully takes over for Rob Pelinka, the lesson here is that like you cannot possibly just bank on a single offseason to build a roster that you're promising your superstar. These things take years. These things take like series of smart decision after smart decision after smart decision. And it requires years of organizational investment so that like the youth that you bring into your organization is also developed and maximized. It like, you don't just like wake up one day and be like, yeah, we want to trade for Giannis today and fix everything. Like that's not how this NBA works. It takes like you look at the Knicks. That took two coaches to eventually arrive at where the Knicks did to win a championship. Two coaches
and tons of transactions and playoff failures and opportunities for the team to grow together as a unit.
Yeah, it took OKC completely bottoming out to the extent that they did and maximizing all of the youth and talent that they've had walk through those hallways. It took the Spurs bottoming out and the league rigging multiple lotteries for them so that they could eventually arrive where they eventually arrived. But like with the Lakers, this notion of like, yeah, summer of 2026, man, we got you, Luka. Like, I'm sorry. That's the greatest way to risk losing a Luka Doncic is to be like, it all just comes down to the summer, buddy. And then you arrive at the summer and you're like, shit, all of the best options are restricted. What do we do? Giannis wants to be in the East. But now what? No, Luka, we're great. No, we're solid. We're doing fantastic over here. This is just not how you build a viable organization.
Googling, can we get Greece closer to Los Angeles? And like faster planes.
Yeah. He like goes to Mark Walter. All right. So we think we have a shot at Giannis. All it's going to take is access to your own private jet out of LAX whenever he wants it. Isn't that illegal? Not according to Adam Silver with the Clippers. So let's talk about the draft that is coming up tomorrow and preparation for it. As I said earlier, the Lakers have pick number 25. In this year's draft. And according to, you know, most of the mocks that you kind of look at, there are some potential centers that are at least intriguing as like a, you know, a year away from being a couple of years away type of project. They could, draft somebody for another team and maintain their steppy and flexibility as well, which is something I think we should probably be on the lookout for. Going into tomorrow's draft, Harrison, what's your confidence level at? Great. Fantastic.
Yeah. Draft day has not historically been a great day for Rob Pelinka transactions.
No. Not the last couple of years.
Well, you know, you got Dalton Connect, Jalen Hood-Schifino, you know, when they do use the picks. You got Russell Westbrook when they don't. It's, you know, it's been a rough couple years. It's like very hard for me to be looking forward to draft day. And also, it's like one of the busiest days of my personal year. And so, I mean, maybe that's like feeding in here where I'm like Eeyore and I'm like, oh, you know, there's going to be a lot of work tomorrow. But I don't know. I'm not a draft guy. You know, you didn't bring me on to talk about prospects or guys that I've been grinding tape on and stuff like that. Like,
I don't know if anybody noticed here. I never brought any draft people on to the show in advance of this draft.
Not a bad call. You could always bring them on after. It's like, why are we going to waste our time trying to guess at guys that might get taken 20 something picks in when we think there's like a decent chance they'll just trade the pick anyway?
Yeah. That was part of my thinking, was that like
I think the only reason for optimism is the stuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only reason for optimism is the stuff that I was talking about before, that, you know, they still have time to use this cap space in a productive way, and they still have the picks. They haven't made their move yet. You know, they haven't made a move that we don't like. And so there's reason for optimism, just in the sense of like they haven't fucked up yet and they have a chance to succeed. But, you know, that I also, again, just like based on past years, am not sitting here just like, oh man, I can't wait for draft day. I know Rob, you know, real G's move in silence. And I know like Rob's lasagna. Got something cooking.
Yeah, I am. Look, I'm looking forward to the draft because I just enjoy draft day, like in a draft day that is probably going to be kicked off by a Giannis trade, usually leads to just utter madness around the league throughout draft day. So like in that sense, like just as an NBA fan, I'm really looking forward to it. As you noted, draft day for the Lakers, ever since Rob Pelinka started taking more and more ownership of the draft process, has not gone particularly well for the Lakers. And that makes me really nervous, in that they haven't exactly added to that team within their organization in preparation for tomorrow. What do you make of them not filling that seat? The assistant GM, the draft focused assistant GM seat before tomorrow?
To me, it's, you know, I know that I just don't know enough about the inner workings to really have like a strong opinion on it. For all we know, Tony Bennett could be very involved in like grinding tape and scouting guys and sending Rob his recommendations and stuff like that. But, and, you know, so I'm like less sort of concerned about that, also because, again, I just don't think that they're going to use this pick. I think they're going to end up trading it in some sort of transaction, and whether that's a good one or not, TBD. But I'm not as worried about that, just because they already announced that they have like a special consultant for draft stuff. I'm fairly sure they have hired scouts, you know, at some point in the interim from letting their scouting staff go last, you know, winter, and like brought some in, and, you know, that they have an apparatus in place there. To me, the assistant GM focused on draft stuff was always like, that's a building out your organization long-term thing, where, okay, we have this assistant GM that he just grinds college tape all year. It's in the spirit of Dodgerifying the Lakers. You know, we have this one guy who is in charge of acting as our GM of the draft. And then we have this guy that's in charge of like being our GM of salary cap planning. And you're sort of spreading that work around so that people can focus more on their strengths. And so I think ultimately that will be a good thing for the Lakers, to sort of split up that power and have more brain power devoted to this stuff. But for this specific draft, I'm not that worried about it. And to me, like, you know, I know that you've said the Tony Bennett leak was Rob sort of making it clear, hey, this guy's not replacing me, I still have power here, whatever. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not going to defer to that guy. And, you know, I think it was more of just like, I don't want fans to get too excited that he's like coming in to take my job.
Yeah, I think there's some middle ground in there for the reality to exist. To me, like, the Rob Pelinka is the same guy who, while Magic Johnson was technically his boss, was walking around the offices asking people if they had seen his boss. You know, like, that person who is that politically savvy within the confines of the Lakers apparatus, like that is somebody who, I look the whole like Tony Bennett thing, like, to me the way I took that leak was like, hey, yeah, Tony Bennett is here and he's helping here, that, you know, get excited about the name, but also if we do something good here, just know who,
yeah
was responsible for the good thing that we did here, you know. And I don't know, man, like I'm just really kind of sick of that aspect of covering the Lakers, right? Like, I just want, like, Pete and I talked about this the other day, and actually I think Pete used the term hate. Like, he hates that aspect of the way that the Lakers work, or that Rob Pelinka works, where there is such a central focus on remaining employed that we don't know about Rob's basketball ideology, because if Rob commits to a basketball ideology and it doesn't pan out, that puts him at risk of getting fired. And
yeah,
whereas it's a lot more likely that you remain employed if all you do is, you know, execute the wishes of your superstar, of your head coach, and then go to owners and be like, look, guys, look, Genie, this is what these guys wanted. What do you want me to do here?
Facilitate their wishes, you know, and right, keep them happy.
And so like that's something that like is probably worth a conversation at a later date. As far as like tomorrow's draft goes, I'm with you. I don't like I'm not going to get into whether or like what people are telling me about the 25th pick and what the Lakers are looking to do with it. All I can say is that I hope that they don't use it, because that if they do use it on a player, that limits them to one first round pick that they can use while still holding on to the one first round pick that Rob likes to enter a season with. Right. This is where like the last couple of seasons, the Lakers, you know, you would hear about, in the run up to whatever draft it was, you would hear leaks that like the Lakers are looking forward to the upcoming draft when they have three first round picks at their disposal. And then they use one of those picks and it's like, oh, so that means they only have one first round pick at their disposal now, yeah, because he doesn't like to go into a year with zero first round picks. And that's why if they
way at the deadline, he can say, well, there wasn't a guy worth a first round pick.
Right. Right. So like this 25th pick that the Lakers have, like, I think Lakers fans, what you really honestly should be hoping for, beyond the reason of like what the Lakers have done with their previous first round picks, the last couple of, you know, bites at the apple that they've taken, beyond that, what you should really be looking for is, or hoping for is that pick number 25 and one of their future first round picks are combined in some kind of a trade, you know, to bring in the win now help that Luka Doncic is really kind of expecting. And because Rob's job is kind of on the line in that regard, I think that's how this plays out.
And it's also worth noting that, you know, if we're thinking of future excuses for him to use, teams have been, you know, I forget which podcaster was bringing it was one of the national guys, but was talking about how they're hearing that teams are really, really scared to trade picks past this like lottery reform date, because they don't know if, like, right now this is a trial run for how these new rules are going to work, and that could revert back in like 2029, I believe, is the soonest it could. And so teams are worried about trading picks that far out, because what if tanking's back on the table again, or what if the odds now are all of a sudden go way up for my mid pick to be really good, and so I should, you know, like, or for me to look really bad because my mid pick jumped up to the first first overall and I sent it out the door for like a just like an okay player. So I think, you know, that's not just going to be a Rob thing, that's going to be like most GMs I think are going to be scared of trading those further out picks for that reason.
I mean, I think that's part of why Trae Young signed for 4 years today, was because the Wizards didn't see an opportunity, or the same opportunity in bottoming out without Trae Young on their roster as they did before the anti-tanking rules were put in place. I also think, though, this is where, again, like having a GM with foresight and a vision of his own that he is looking to execute, or they are looking to execute, is critical. You know, the fact that, like, you know, every time, Harrison, you and I talk about, like, whether it's on the air or off of it, every time you and I talk about what we think Rob is getting ready to do, it is almost never, if not outright, never through the prism of what we think he thinks a team needs, other than combo guards. It is always
seems to be the one prevailing basketball philosophy beyond, as you said, keeping his job that Rob has, is that you need as many 6'4"-ish combo guards as you can get.
Yeah,